it said I was chosen because I'm living a life of miracles since my house burnt down. And anyway, thanks to you all for welcoming me here. I mean, it's so.
I got to share because that happened to me. I was here at a Harp and Bowl one night, and I started feeling like I was having a heart attack. And they prayed for me before I went to the emergency room. And I went to the emergency room, and first of all, they said it was an anxiety attack, and then my enzymes and all that stuff started going crazy. And then they said I was having a heart attack, and that they life-flighted me to Riverside Hospital. And me and Jim prayed and speaking in tongues and in the spirit right there on the life flight to the Riverside. And that God healed me on the way there, because when I got there, they took me in there and nothing was going on. So, but they tried to explain, you know, what happened and this and that. But me and Jim knew.
Doctors really don't believe in miracles. But when I went to the emergency room, I told them. I told him, I says, I got no money, I got no insurance, I'm going for a miracle, you know. And one of the nurses, I have, it's kind of a documented miracle, because one of the nurses actually put in a report, he says God will heal him, you know. So it's good. You guys know what's going on.
Was yesterday for dinner break. We went out in groups, and our group went to the hospital, and we decided to go. I think we were led to go to the cafeteria first. We had to eat anyway, and so you know, we just went to camp there and see what happens. And we ended up getting to pray for about 8 different people throughout the hospital. We got into places, we got into ICU, and we had places where you're not supposed to be. And we were going over a table with a couple nurses to try and talk to them, and so I heard somebody call my name, and there's a table of 6 elderly people that used to work with my dad. And so I went over, a couple of us went over and talked to them, and I just asked them if they had any needs or aches or pains, and they made some jokes about, well, we're old. but one guy says, he raises his arm just a little bit. He says, I can't raise my left arm. And so we asked him if we could pray for him, and we prayed for him, and we asked him to raise his arm, and he raises his arm. but he didn't really... He didn't get it, I don't think. You know, big deal. You know, I can't raise my arm. but he didn't think it was all the way, so we prayed again, and he raises it further. And so that was cool. God just led us from one person to another. You know, the rest of them were kind of things that you don't see the manifestation of, and we prayed for a guy that just had carotid artery surgery, and we got to pray for Vicki Bell's mom was in there, and so it was fun.
I think we all got messed with. I had the privilege of going out with Pam. I had the privilege of going out with Pam and Hannah and Bill Bowles. I'll let them tell their part of it, but... But after going out here in Marion, they said, well, what else are we going to do? I said, hey, you want to go pray over my sister? Because, you know, my sister's bedridden. They're like, sure. And I said, you know, hey, it's, you know, what did I say, 45 minutes from here? They're like, sure. I'm like, oh, great. You guys are full of love. So anyhow, my sister's been prayed over a number of times for healing. But this time, she's at a different place. And even more so, I was saying, having Bill there, the father figure, which is, you know, her past and my past with the father figure is messed up. Okay, I've got healing so far. She's in the process of getting healed, because even as Pam was pointing out, when they were speaking words of life into her, because really, I was saying, it's like revamping the thinking. She's not had the blessing of being in a church. church where the thinking is revamped and truth comes. Well, that's been happening, but even more so today, as Bill, well, all of them, Bill was speaking truth into her of her worth and her value and all those things. I just seen her at a different place of receiving the truth. It wasn't like, no, that's not the truth about me. You know, it was more of just a crying. I could see a change in her receiving those truths now. She's more receptive to it. So I'm expecting, you know, that once this gets straightened out, and it's happening, that the healing will manifest. Just, you know what I'm saying? So I was just really blessed that they would want to go out so willing. Yes. Yes, that is key. Because she actually, although she can't speak, she speaks by blinking her eyes once means yes. So they're like, do you forgive, do you forgive your father? And she blinked her eyes, yes. So I thought that was huge. So, but yeah, it's coming. I told her it's going to happen. It's just what moment, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's been a good weekend. It's been a life-changing weekend. I'm for me, again, you know, it's been a long time since I've been around a lot of this kind of stuff. First off, during worship, I guess it was yesterday after worship, my son came up to me and he said he had a word for me, you know, and at first he was kind of, you know, hesitant to give it, you know, and he just said he felt like the Lord said that he had missed me. You know, and it rang true. You know, something happened this weekend. It was like there was a cap on my life for a while, probably for quite a few years, you know. And just recently with the School of the Supernatural we've been going through, I just felt like, you know, I'm just not going to allow this, you know. And I've had more freedom in the past. I said, no more, you know. I mean, I'm just not going to allow it. So it's like I just uncapped, so to speak, you know. And from that point on, I would say even before this weekend, I sensed the presence of God always. You know, I think that's been a point. It was definitely when we had School of Supernatural was talking about hosting the presence. And before that, I had just made a pact with the Lord, you know. I know he's in me. I'm just going to listen for you all the time, you know. It's like not just when we go to church or this or that or when I'm on the bus and I know I have to pray for this person or that person, but all the time, you know. I expect to sense you and to feel, hate the word feel, but just to be aware of God's presence, you know, however he wants to manifest it. And so I just expect it now, you know, wherever I'm going. In the restaurant, the first thing when we got to go out today, we're just in line to my waitress that was there, so I got to give her a word of encouragement from the Lord too. Kind of shocked her, you know, and kind of shocked me too, because it works outside there too, you know, as well as it works inside of here. But we got to go, the guys in our supernatural class went out, gosh, I remember, the day before yesterday, I guess it was. Or was it yesterday? One of the two. Sometime this weekend. And so we had just wrote down, well, that was our assignment yesterday, right? Okay, so we went out yesterday. And we just wrote a list of things we expected to do, you know. So we go out there, and there's like six or seven of us, you know. So we head over to Walmart first, you know. Everybody goes to Walmart. And so it's like we walk in, and we have assignments right off the bat. You know, we got to pray for one of the Ruth. She's a greeter there. So God got to bless her a little bit, you know, and then look around. And all of us have assignments there at Walmart, every single one of us. Timmy was praying for a guy that had a bad knee. So, and he said he didn't get a word of knowledge. He saw him, you know. He said, hey, you know, I see that you're limping and stuff, you know. So he ended up praying for the guy. And the guy started off saying the pain was like at 8 or 9. And he walked out of there with no pain. No pain. And pray for a lady that has MS. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that whenever we pray for somebody, something happens. Because it's not us, it's God. So we never got to see the manifestation of that, except that that lady knew that she was loved by God for that particular moment, you know. And let's see. Today, we pray for about 8 people. We got led to Big Lots. So we just kind of walked around in Big Lots. We're just waiting and stuff. And we had a couple of hitting the walls, you know. Says, you know what? So what? So we just kept on going, you know. And we ended up praying for a lady. One of the ladies we prayed for was Virginia, you know. She's an old saint, and she has issues with her hip, you know. And so we got to pray for a creative miracle in that. And she said she had a pain like an 8 or, yeah. And when we got done praying with her, she said she had no pain. I'm sorry? Yeah, she stood up and was walking around like, wow, you know. It's like, it is funny. It's like, you know, they're in shock, you know. And there was a lady before her, her name was Marge, and Pam saw her first, and she was sitting down in one of the chairs and stuff. She walked, Pam walked around and saw that she was on a cane, so we went over there, and she had bad knees, so we released miracles into her knees, and we prayed for her a couple times, and when she finally got, she got up and tested everything out, and she said that it was an 8 or a 9. And I'm sorry, yeah, it went down to 6, and so that's the beginning. And it's like, you know, she had enough, you know. So let's see, we had she did something to her finger getting in the car, and it broke her finger. Or it didn't break it. I know something happened to her pinky, so it went, like dislocated or something. I could see it from where I was sitting. It was like, it was out, you know, and it just, I could hear it pop. It was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Let's see, what else? When we prayed for your mom, I don't know, I was standing there, I'm sorry? Did I say mom? Yeah, sister. I tell you what, I was getting angry, you know, in my heart, you know, because I'm looking there and I'm seeing that, you know, this isn't supposed to be. You know, here we are, God's children. We carry heaven with us. And the fact, you know, the thing that made me mad was that the enemy has done this to people. And that really makes me angry. You know, I don't know. It just makes me angry. So I think, you know, we have put a notice, at least myself, to the enemy that this isn't going to be okay on our watch anymore.
Praise and worship. I can't got come Thursday night, last night, this morning, and usually I don't come up here. You know, even during church, we don't come up here much. But I tell you what, I want to come up here. I want to come up here Sunday morning because it was me and God. I don't know about anybody else, but what they were doing. But the Holy Spirit was up here, and it was an awesome time, awesome, powerful time. Woohoo time.
Did we were in worship last night, and I was holding Rafe. I was sitting over there, and as I was holding him, he normally doesn't like to be held for very long. He likes to run around, and he kept looking over at Chad, and, you know, Chad was sitting up there with his leg propped up, and he kept looking at the leg brace, and I asked Ray if he wanted to pray for him, and he goes, yeah, pray, I said, okay, I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, no, so we're just, you know, like, we just kept continuing to worship, and then Pastor Perry Payne is standing right in front of us, and, you know, like, I really wanted to pray for him, and, you know, God just kind of prompted just how pure it would be if Rafe prayed for him too, if Rafe just laid hands on him as I'm praying. And you know, so we did, you know, I praying, and you know, one of those prayers that, you know, just like Jeremy said, your face becomes leaky. And you know, I mean, like I'm just sobbing as I see my 2.5-year-old son, you know, just laying hands on somebody, just praying for him, and you know, and prayed for his hip. And so he comes up to me this morning, and he's like, you know, I just want to share with you when you and Rafe were praying for me, and you know, how like his hip catches, and he's restless every night sleeping, like he can only sleep in particular ways, and every single morning he gets up, it like catches, and it takes him a while to get going. And he said, absolutely nothing last night, nothing this morning, no pain, no discomfort, didn't catch or anything. I'm like, that is awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, and then, you know, which, I mean, like, I love seeing people healed, you know. I have a bent for healing. And so, like, when I was sharing Friday, I gave out a word for, like a pain in the back, or like maybe like a scoliosis or something, and nobody raised their hand. You know, I'm to that point now where it's just like when I'm up here sharing and I have a word of knowledge, like I'm not wrong, like I can't be wrong. So I'm, you know, I've seen so when I'm up here, I'm not wrong ever. No, I'm kidding, but you know, I mean, I've just seen God just call out crazy, weird words of knowledge, and just, yeah, like electrocution, or you tripped it, you know, just a ton of things. Rectum's burning, yeah. Yeah. But, and then, yeah, it did. Tore him up. She digresses. But regardless, and then a lady came up to me after dinner, after we got back, and she's like, you know, that was actually me. And she said, when I stood up for break, in between us and Dan, she goes, I felt fine. It was awesome. I mean, she's like, there was absolutely no pain. And she's like, that's not normal. Like, that's incredible stuff. That's just incredible stuff. And, you know, and, God's going to heal some headaches tonight. If you have a headache tonight, God is going to lift that off. Yeah. But yeah. So, is it okay if I just pray for headaches right now? Cool. Yeah. Who's got a headache? Yeah, okay. It was the proximities, yeah. He's got a sense of humor, this guy. Yeah. Anybody else got headaches right now? That's good. I love when that happens. Father God, we just thank you for Pam and Paul. Father God, we just, God, we thank you, God. God, that you're here to set them free. God, you're not here to slow them down. God, we just thank you, God, that you're above any headache. Father God, right now, we just pray right now, God, just the pain, God, just the pressure, just be lifted off of them right now, Father God. God, just off of them. Free them up. Throbbing, stop. Pain, stop. Discomfort, stop. God, we thank you for the total restoration in their minds right now. In Jesus' name. How do you feel?
weeks ago in a Sunday morning service, Kathy Appleton gave a prophetic word to the effect that the Calebs were going to run with the Joshuas. So in spending these last few days with a group of Joshuas, and I'm looking around me now and I see a lot of Joshuas, and I'm probably the only Caleb here. But anyway, I had a good time with all you Joshua. So I think you're all awesome. Hope I can keep up with you. She said we were going to run with the Joshua. So I'm here so that I can learn to keep up. So if I fall behind, maybe somebody can help me here. The messages have been inspirational and revelatory. The music and worship has been awesome. It's out of this world, heavenly. So God bless all of you, and thank you for being faithful and being Joshua's. Thank you. Oh, well, it's because I'm not going to say a lot. It's just, no, I've really had a good time this weekend, and I feel like there's not a generation gap, and so I just want to be with you all and be a part of what God's doing with you, and I think he's going to use us Calebs also, so I'm available, so I want to get to know what I'm supposed to do, what my part in this is, so thank all of you.
Ron, I've had a problem the last few years, number of years, of hearing the words come to this local house since 1993 when we first started attending, and I'm a person that likes to see things come to pass. And while I would certainly never even think about laying fault on anybody, I just hunger to see the change. And I feel like this weekend was dramatically a turning point. It's a conference for a lot of people, a lot of groups coming together. The association with the Bethel has been happening a long time before I was even aware of it. And yet I feel like the transformation has turned and it's going to affect this local body in this area. And the words we've heard are actually coming true before my eyes that I see it. And I can't say that I've seen that in years past. I feel like the church is ready. The church is now being prepared and accepted it. And yeah, the generation thing, I noticed that too and say, well, you know, it's not just the music, but I associate with a Josh and a Jeremy and all these younger people, and I feel right at home and never even give it a second thought. I thoroughly enjoyed the worship, total freedom, like I haven't felt in a long, long time. And for me, I could stand before kings and princes and prophesy and tell them, pay attention to Marion, Ohio, to Marion Christian Center, because it's happening. It's not just we just hope anymore. It's not hope. I've seen it before my eyes, and there's no way the enemy is going to overcome what's happening here now.
He did. I know. No, not by much. For me, and I love the physical healing stuff. I love all that how it takes place and how God is faithful in that. But for me, I love to see hearts changed. And I saw a lot of hearts changed here this weekend. I saw a lot of hearts changed here. I mean, here and outside of here. I mean, when, you know, just doing life with people and hanging out and seeing, you know, what's going on with what God is doing, how God's being faithful and changing our hearts and people's hearts and their, you know, their cores and right down to the core. And so I don't want to try to say that I'm not trying to detract from anything. I mean, all of it's good and all of it's great, but for me, it's I love to see hearts turned and changed, and that has –
don't do long. This started a couple of weeks ago, but it kind of culminated today, which was really cool. Because during worship one time, I had a word from the Lord, and at first I didn't want to receive it. You know, it was like, oh yeah, okay, tell somebody else. But it was just said, go to the morgues. You know, so and I called a couple of doctors, said, where's the morgue? I know it's in the hospital, but he didn't know. Nobody knows. So I was just sharing with that Sandy today, you know, and she was so excited. So she's going to find out where the morgue is, you know. We'll find it, you know. And I'm excited because if God said go to the morgue, that means he's going to be there when we go, you know. And you know what? And who was it that was saying, you know, I think it was Steve Witt said, you know, go find where hell is. And that thing really struck true to my heart. You know, I am sick and tired of looking around and seeing this world just take what the enemy gives. You know, and if greater is he that is in us, then it's time we get up and do great things. You know, I'm just sick of it. You know, I'm sick of death. I'm sick of sickness, you know. And I figure, you know, when we start clearing out the morgue, then we might get some attention from the enemy. You know, and he needs to know that we have we set a limit. You know, and he also gave me another battle strategy. We're going after the heroin addicts, you know. I'm going to find a police officer, and he's going to tell me exactly where the heroin houses are. And, of course, you know, this is all going to be done through prayer and stuff, but let's go get them. Biggest thing I wanted to share, that, you know, it's like I have to share that because the devil needs to know. He's had notice. That's it.
I'm actually, what's up? While we're setting up, anybody got a story real quick while we're setting up?
Well, you know, I was saying my sister needed lies revamped, well, about the past. Well, I had some lies revamped today. It was just a pleasure to hang out with you all today, but especially Pam. We went to supper together. And you know how you have, whether it's trainings or whatever, there's lies about going out, you know, and ministering to people, things that lies that hold you back, you know, create fears or whatever. Just talking to her, she refuted some of those lies, well, the ones I gave her. it's by reason of use, going out and ministering to people. I mean, like you said, it makes success just because I went out the door, you know, and it just creates, the hunger's there, but that creates that place of boldness just to go out and just do it and risk it all.
Here this week, so I'll do that. This is Dan Petrini, and he is from Chicago, Illinois. And there's a lot of interesting things about Dan. I could make a list, but one of the interesting things is he's just one of those supernatural connections that God has made with me, you know, and us together. And I told the story, I'll tell it very briefly, that, you know, I was going to a leaders meeting of the Great Lakes Global Legacy Leaders Group. That's a mouthful. In Dayton. And I was really kind of being lazy that day because God always kind of points out two people to me. And I say, am I supposed to connect with Cecilia or is it Brian or is it Katie? I don't know. Who am I supposed to connect with? Valpo a couple times, and we may have said hi, I don't know, but I mean he's 6'6", he kind of stands out so you can see him, and with the polka dot hair kind of stands out a little bit too, but he didn't know me and I didn't really know him. So I'm standing at Dayton Vineyard, and you know, just had a cup of coffee over the morning, just kind of being lazy, hoping God's going to answer my prayer, because that's what I prayed. And immediately, this Dan walks up and says, "Hi, I'm Dan. What's your name?" He said, "I think I'm supposed to talk to you today. Who are you?" And we just kind of, I mean, just like within like 15 minutes of my prayer. And I just believe, I love it when God supernaturally connects people. And even met another gentleman today that's intertwined because I bought two gallons of stain, too much. That's another story. And I knew I wasn't supposed to buy it. I thought, why am I buying 2 extra gallons of stain? Well, that's a long story. So I met another fellow today because of that. Supernatural. I love Dan Petrini. He is the evangelistic director for the Greater Chicago Church. Not anymore. You're not. Pam is? Woof. Pam is then. Pam Stryker. Okay. Well, you're the used-to-be evangelistic director of Greater Chicago Church. I've got a chance to meet your pastor very briefly. And it's a great church, and they're a great church family. And he also has a ministry called Outside Church. And we've talked a lot in the past few months about we need to be doing things out there, and churches without walls. And this guy is a picture of a church without walls. I love what he does, but more importantly, I love his heart and love who he is. So this is Dan Petrini.
So Ron tells that story like God told me to go over and talk to him. That's not at all how it happened. That's how he saw it. As far as the way I saw it is, I'd gotten there early and I was sitting down and I had to go pee. So I got up and I started walking to the bathroom. And as I walk into the bathroom, I see Ron. I was like, "Hey, how you doing?" And I just started talking to him. So he sees it. He sees it. Real spiritual. The spirit was moving. So, I have this whole lesson written out, and I really like this. So one of the things that Ron said to me was that Marion needs what I carry. And so the more I talk about it, the more I do it, the less weird it feels and seems to me. But there are people here, as I talk about some of this stuff, you're going to kind of, everybody's going to be at different levels. There might be some of you who are like, "Oh, yeah, I totally get that." And other ones who are like, "Oh, I wasn't there, but yeah, that kind of makes sense." And then others who are going to be like, "What is this guy talking about?" And then others who are going to be like, "This guy's just whacked out." So wherever you are, I just ask that you're open to possibly something different. And I'm going to actually try and do this a little differently. I'm just going to kind of talk. I'm not real good at memorizing scripture. I know things in the Bible. Sometimes I can find where they're at. But my notes are really a lot of scripture, so I might head back there for scriptures. But I'm just going to kind of talk and be more conversational with you as this meeting has kind of become more conversational. So I was talking with Josh. He was talking about holding up signs that say free spiritual readings. And I want to encourage you guys that when we're talking about going outside the walls, when we're talking about bringing Jesus into the public realm, bringing Jesus to people who may or may not. Here's the thing about evangelism is I believe evangelism is not just for people who don't know Jesus. Because one of my taglines is, representing and representing Jesus to people. See, I was talking with this gangbanger out in front of the courthouse, and I can't remember if he was limping or his foot was wrapped. I don't remember the exact details. The long and the short of it is he had been shot in his foot. He had pain in his foot. So I said to him, "Hey, can I pray that Jesus would So I prayed. I may have prayed a couple times. His pain completely left. I was like, that's awesome. I said, so do you know who Jesus is? Everybody in Chicago knows who Jesus is, okay? Seriously, if I was an evangelist that believed that my only worth was how many people I saved, I would sit in a corner and cry because everybody in Chicago knows Jesus. It's a very religious city. So I said to him, do you know Jesus? He said, yes, I do. I said, do you know this Jesus that just healed you? He said, no. Because people only see certain sides and certain aspects of who he is. So I want to encourage you that as you're doing stuff, I talk about activating supernatural lifestyle, because evangelism is a lifestyle. I don't believe that you can separate evangelism and the supernatural. Everywhere in the Bible that it talks about the supernatural, if you read through Acts, it says there were signs, wonders, and miracles, and the gospel was preached, or the gospel was preached, and there were signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't believe you can separate the two. Evangelism is not going out on the streets with a blowhorn or with tracts or with whatever. Evangelism is teaching how to live the gospel, or teaching what the gospel is, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Sidetracked myself. What was I saying right before that? I was going somewhere and then I went that way and I... Yeah, we'll go back there because I don't know where I was. That's good, that's good. This is the problem with not having notes. So I want to encourage you guys to push your limits of what evangelism is and what it looks like. And that's a little bit of what I talked about the other day with going, is it doesn't have to be, hey, can I pray for, well, that's a really good line. It doesn't have to be, hey, let me prophesy over you or let me heal you. It could simply be, will you go to church with me? Can I pray for you right now? It could simply be you living your life. I mean, there's this great testimony of this guy who, he went up to this guy at work because this guy at work was just so happy, and he said, what is with you? And the guy goes, you really want to know? He's like, yes, what's with you? The guy goes, I found Jesus. And this kid got saved because his coworker was just acting kingdom as he lived, and he didn't even have to preach with words. He just lived his life. I do believe we have to use words, by the way. I do believe that the kingdom is preached through words. So I want to encourage you to step outside of what you think evangelism is. And even change it from doing evangelism to living a supernatural lifestyle. That sounds a lot easier to me. Because the supernatural is God, it's not me. It's him, so I get to follow him and what he's doing. That means the pressure's on him and not on me. That's a great thing about being a Christian, is the pressure is always on him. He can handle the pressure. One of the things I love, Robbie Dawkins, I got this from him. When he goes up to somebody and says, you know, I see you have a thing on your wrist. Can I pray for you? Or he says, if you let me pray for you, God will heal you. Putting the pressure on God, right? And then if the person comes back and goes, oh, I don't believe in that stuff, you say, awesome, now I guarantee you you'll get healed. You know what? I've said exactly that to people and they haven't gotten healed. Still not my fault. Still not my fault. I can press into it more. I can push into healing. I can do everything I can do. I can, you know, it's not about works. But, of course, I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to read what he says about healing. I'm going to pray for more people. You know, the more you do it, the more you see. So coming back to signs, because I'll come back there, I want to encourage you to step outside of whatever box you know evangelism is. So you had signs that say free spiritual readings, and I was telling about some signs that I've held up. And I've done a number of different signs. I think the first sign I ever held up, I was in downtown Chicago. It said, I'm sorry. It just said, I'm sorry. It was an interesting experience because, first of all, you get people as you're standing there, people who are just like, You really, you wanna know what it feels like to be a homeless person holding up a sign, praying that somebody will help you? Go hold up a sign in a downtown area, and you can see what it feels like. And you can see how much this world just blocks everything out and pushes aside what they can't handle. Because I don't necessarily think that it's people who don't love, but it's too hard. We weren't created for loss. We weren't created for hardship. God didn't create us to have heartache. It's product of sin. So I'm holding up this sign that says, "I'm sorry." And a few people were brought in by this. They're like, "What? You know, you're sorry. What are you sorry for?" And I said, "I just want to apologize for any Christian who has made you feel bad about things that you've done in your life, or told you you're going to go to hell, or told you that God doesn't love you because of X, Y, or Z. I want to, as a Christian and an evangelist, I want to apologize for that." And I think I had conversations with, you know, two or three people, and they were all really good. I had one person who said, "Well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forgive any of those other people." You know? So it's thinking outside of the box. It's stretching what you know and what you think and what you see evangelism to be. But we actually had signs made, like actually made. So this was a cardboard sign that I just wrote on, so I really looked like I was homeless. But we had signs, like professional signs made. One of them says, "Free spiritual readings." One says, "Free healings." One says, "Free tattoo interpretation." They're just prophetic words. I'm going to show you one in a minute. Free spiritual readings, free tattoo interpretation, free healings, free dream interpretation, and free psychic readings. Ooh, I use the psychic word. I'll be honest, there's debate whether using the word psychic along the sides of Jesus is good, bad. Some people think it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Misleading, yeah. I actually have a whole blog post why I think using the word psychic is totally fine, because the devil didn't actually create anything. He can only twist things. So the word psychic is actually a God word, because he doesn't create anything. And if you look up the term of what a psychic is, it's someone who's prophetic. All giftings are from God. Not all gifts get used for God. And so someone who's a psychic is hearing something through a gift that God gave them. They're just not hearing the right voice. Well, and the truth is, who here has heard God's voice before? Everybody can raise their hand, by the way, because the Bible says that if you've accepted him, you've heard his voice. Who here has heard a voice that they didn't think was God? Okay. The thing is that we all hear different voices. We do, right? It actually reminded me of a Todd White story. You guys know who Todd White is? He's crazy awesome. He tells a story about going to a therapist, and the therapist said, "So do you hear voices?" And he goes, "Yes, I do." I love Todd White. Anyway, so people who are psychics actually have a prophetic gifting that was given by God and twisted by the enemy to do something different. If I can take the language of the world, because if I say, "Would you like a free prophetic word?" people are going to go, "Huh?" And anybody who goes yes is already a Christian, right? So if I take the wording of the world and bring it into what I need to do to pull people in, I don't see anything wrong with that. If it was something that you didn't like, I'd say don't do it. But I like using free psychic readings. So we're holding signs. We're at Lollapalooza, huge musical festival in Chicago. As a side note, there's different strategies for evangelism. You're leading the stuff, like going out stuff? Okay. So you guys can hear, but I'll talk to you. There's different strategies for evangelism. The strategy of walking up to people, the way I see it, there's two ways of doing it. One is you're stepping into their world. The other is you're inviting them into your world. So when you're at Walmart and you walk up to somebody, you're stepping into their world. And you're praying for them, prophesying, whatever it is. That's great. This is our everyday interaction with people, and this is the lifestyle we should live. But when you have something, and I don't know what's around here, but in Chicago you have a big music festival, and people are going to the music festival, they're walking in, and they have people who are selling shirts, people who are handing out flyers, people who are selling water, people who are doing this. They want to get to that door over there, and they don't want to talk to anybody. They're doing this. So if you try and stop them for any reason to pray for them, they're just like, get away from me. But if you can entice them to step into your world, that's what a sign does. So there's strategies, and there's ways to use different things to reach different people or people at different times in different scenarios and situations. So I like using signs when we're at big events because it invites people to step into my world. So I'm standing there with a free psychic reading, a few feet down or a little ways down. We've got the free spiritual readings. We've got free dream interpretations while they're over there, free healings over there. And we've got my buddy Trevor just sitting there worshiping. Were you on drums for that one? You're on drums, and they're just worshiping because they're just protecting the presence, right? And actually, for this particular evangelism, I think that is very key. So they're worshiping, and we're just standing there with these signs. And as we're standing there with these signs, people come up to us. It was very interesting to me to see who would come for a free psychic reading and who would come for a free spiritual reading because it was different people. I noticed that people who were about 20 and under would go for a free psychic reading, and people who were over 20 would go for a free spiritual reading. And we're not far from each other, so you can see both signs. And it was just interesting to see who would do what. Because I believe that versatile, yeah, but there's like all things to all people. Is that what it is? All things to all men. Yeah, you need to. So I'm in sales, and in sales, you need to not change who you are, but you need to be different in front of different people and approach things differently. It's the same thing with evangelism. It's the same thing with reaching people. So we have these signs. We were out at the Puerto Rican Fest. Were you there? No, the Puerto Rican Fest with the Bethel students. We're at the Puerto Rican Fest, and what's that? Oh it was a lot of fun. We were at the Puerto Rican Fest. We had these signs. We'd hold up signs, and, you know, the signs I told you about. But we're walking. We're literally walking. Do you have that video ready? Because I'm gonna get there in a second. We're literally walking across this field, and as we're walking across this field, and we're just going from point A to point B, this guy says something to me like, hey, man, I like your swag, right? And so we actually had somebody who was doing some videotaping with us, videotaping some God stuff that was going on. And so when he said that, I turned around because I try and engage with everyone I possibly can. Like, one of the tricks that I've learned when doing evangelism is I say hi to everyone, and anyone who engages with me, then I can stop and talk with them. it's really easy. You know, somebody stops, they've just invited you to have a conversation. So he said something to me, so I turned around and was like, just started talking with him, and I saw these tattoos all over him. I'm like, hey, man, can I take a look at your tattoos? And at that point, the video camera comes out. Now, to give you some background, this is an example of a tattoo interpretation. Doug Addison, do you guys know who Doug Addison is? His hometown actually isn't far from here. He's a dream interpreter guy, but he also does tattoo interpretations. And so I bought his course and have listened to it. And they're a little different than dream interpretations, but I find the tattoo interpretations, A, to step into a culture that is already out there. Because I don't know about around here. Well, I've seen a lot of tattoos around here, but even in Chicago, it's crazy how many people have tattoos. So you're stepping into something that is out there, into people's lives. People like talking about themselves, It's one of the things that I teach about evangelism is questions are better than answers. But people like talking about themselves. So tattoos is, for me personally, such a gateway into a conversation, into a God encounter. Because I can be like, hey, let me take a look at your tattoos. What do you have? And you can start prophesying from what their tattoos are. So I was taking a look at his tattoos, and this is the video. This is a crazy encounter. Why don't you go ahead with it?
Bulls with got a black eye on his just left eye, since the whole team was injured this year. What's up? Drumsticks for my son with his initial. Steve for me, I'm a poet. My son's birthday.
Can I tell you something real quick?
What's up?
So, it's interesting. I like this thing called tattoo readings and tattoo interpretations. And it's just kind of like finding hidden meanings behind tattoos. And so part of what I think that this is saying is you've been through a lot. There's a lot of stuff you've been through in life. But you're an overcomer, and you go through and you get through stuff. What kind of flower is that?
A lily.
A lily. You know what's interesting about a lily? Lilies, they grow in water, but the roots go all the way down into the ground. So I feel like you're a grounded person, but you're also spiritual. I feel like you're looking and searching at the minute for stuff. Here's the thing though. You're a very spiritual person, and because you're searching, you're gonna find what you're looking for. Okay.
Hey man, I don't know you. I never met you a day in my life, but you know all that, dude.
You want to know?
You're dead on. I kid you not. You're dead on, dude.
So you want to know how I know?
Yeah.
So my best friend is Holy Spirit. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. And Holy Spirit talks to me. He knows who you are. What's your name?
I'm David, man.
David, I'm Dan.
Nice to meet you.
See, I didn't even know your name.
Right.
David's a good, strong name
all
right there.
Sure, originally in Hebrew, it means beloved, loved one, or uncle.
That's
and
good.
I'm chosen to be king. I'm up next.
Come on with it, man. So he knows who you are, right? So you're on a path, you're searching. So I believe that we're all searching in some way. And I believe that Jesus is who we're all searching for. And it takes us some time to find him. But right now, what just happened is Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father God, whatever you want to call him, God just came and he said hello through me. He said, I know who you are. I love you. I care about you. I care about all the things that you care about. And because you're like a super committed person.
Right.
Like you're the type of person that when you get on something, you're on it. Right? Like you're like you're committed.
You're giving me goosebumps, cuz.
You're
on,
committed.
This man, dude, you're reading me like an open book, and my book ain't even open yet.
Right. Because your book has been opened to Jesus. Because he knows you, he loves you, and he cares about you. And he has followed you all the days of your life. And you may not know that he's been with you this whole time, but he has. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say that he's actually saved your life.
Yep.
I feel like there's two instances that you should have died.
All right, B, we got to stop, though.
There's
two. We got to stop because you hit the nerve. We got to stop, B.
So,
right.
So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's been with
right.
you, and he loves you, and he cares about you. And you have a purpose. Just like you said, I'm next in line to be king.
Right.
Your name is David, and that's not a coincidence. Because you have calling on your life.
Hey, where do I find you at, man?
Right here.
Hey, I appreciate you, brother. My name's David. Pray for me, Dad.
Can I pray for you real quick? Father,
right
I thank you for David, Lord. I thank you for the call that's on his life and even the mentoring that you have for him for young men, Lord. I thank you for the gifts that you're going to be putting in him and the gifts that are going to start to emerge. I feel like there's even things that is in you already that's going to start to come out. I thank you for his heart searching. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just come and you would hit him. Father, that your spirit would hit his spirit. And the truth that he's looking for will be made known in a clear, deep way. Jesus.
Dude, I don't know who you are, man, but you got me dead on, cuz.
I'm telling you,
you got me dead on, man. That's crazy.
It's all him. Because he loves you, man, and he cares about you. Because you're his son. You are his son.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy, man.
It's
that's
on a
so
dust
crazy.
Off
I don't. I was seeing the signs, and I don't do the readings and all of that, man. Well, dude, you pegged me on. I almost lost my life twice. You got that dead on the head, dude. That's crazy. I don't even know you. That's crazy.
You have a high calling on your life.
I appreciate you again, B. You just sure changed my mindset before I walked in this park. I can tell you that much. You just put me in a more positive light.
That's right. All right. So. So, are you working with young people yet?
No, I want to. I'm trying to. That's what I want to do. I want to get out here. I want to let them know not to make the same mistakes that I made. I want to let them know that they're still young. There's so much life ahead of them, man. There's so much. I want to let them know that you don't gotta be like everybody. To be an individual, that's what people love. Individuality. I want to let them know that God loves them. That's just how He changed me. He can change them. So I had King for 15 years of my life right there on the other side of that park. I slept in this park, sold drugs in this park, shot at people in this park, beat up people in this park. And today I'm a man. My son's four.
Come on.
He's healthy. God changed me. He
That's
did.
Awesome. I know.
I'm
yeah.
man.
Come on, man.
So, like, it just simply started with me talking to him about his tattoos, right? And then it's, with evangelism, it's just finding that gateway to start stuff with people, you know, to get the conversation going, to get to the place where God can pour out His heart on somebody. I know it was a little bit long, but I love that testimony of just the way God, I mean, I love it. Anyway, all right, so I'm going to try and make this quick. I want to stretch you guys. Signs, wonders, and miracles can't be separated from evangelism. Okay, you have to preach the gospel, and signs, wonders, and miracles go along with them. Signs, wonders, and miracles, the purpose of them, they're signs. Excuse me. They're signs. They point somewhere. When we're driving home to Chicago, we'll see a sign that says Chicago, 85 miles or whatever. We don't stop at that sign, set camp up at that sign, and go, oh, this is such a glorious sign, I'm just going to stay here. Thank you. It's the same thing with signs, wonders, and miracles, is that when these signs come from heaven, they are pointing someone greater, right? A sign to Chicago points to a city that is greater than the sign. A sign from God points to someone greater. So we're always pointing and I love signs, wonders, and miracles. Like, I love them. I think they are so much fun. I want to see so much more of this stuff in my life because I love it. It's fun. It is fun when people get healed. It is fun when a tattoo, talking about tattoos, turns into this experience where this gangbanger with these funky contacts in his eyes starts crying. It's fun. Why are tears good in church? I don't know, but it's fun. So, my experience and my belief system don't match up. And I'm okay with that, at least for now. And here's what I mean by that. I believe things that I haven't seen yet. It is faith, right? And it's faith that pleases God. And so my belief system and my experience don't always come together. So I want to say that on the onset before I start talking about this. The Bible talks about signs, wonders, and miracles. It actually talks about healing, prophecy, signs, wonders, and miracles. One of the things that I feel like we have done in the church is we've taken signs, wonders, and miracles and dumbed it down to healing and prophecy and tongues. Like, though that's when somebody mentions signs, wonders, and miracles, we think healing, prophecy, and tongues. But the Bible talks about healing, prophecy, tongues, signs, wonders, and miracles. Which means there's got to be something more. It even talks about how there's prophets, and there's healers, and there's workers of miracles. Anybody in this room know a worker of miracles? But it's one of the gifts that is talked about in Corinthians. Now, when I think about the Bible and what I read in the Bible as far as signs, wonders, and miracles, I'm just going to read this off. Jesus, we all know Jesus. He's our great example, right? So he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cast out demons, he prophesied over people. What else did he do? He walked on water, he multiplied food, he turned water into wine, he calms a storm, he withers a fig tree. There's the miraculous catch of fish, the coin in the fish mouth. Jesus walks through a crowd. This is my favorite one. This one's in Luke 4. The crowd is pushing him back because they're mad at him. Now I imagine the crowd is probably more than two people. It's probably like 50, 60, 100 people are pushing him, back him up to a cliff, and Jesus is standing there with a cliff on one side, people surrounding him. They want to throw him off, and the Bible says, and Jesus walked through the crowd. Now, you can read that as he pushed his way through the crowd. I don't care how big Jesus was. in the physical, he could not push his way through 20 people. They're going to pick him up and throw him off the cliff. I believe Jesus walked through the people because that's what it says. And Jesus is our example. He's the one we're supposed to base our life off of. But he's Jesus. Maybe he can do special things. So let's look at the disciples. They heal the sick. They raise the dead. They cast out demons. Shadows heal people. Handkerchiefs heal people. Prison doors are thrown open. They're led by angels. Supernatural teleportation. Philip with the Ethiopian. The Bible says that Philip baptized the Ethiopian. He disappeared here and reappeared here. Paul gets bitten by the snake. In Acts 19:11, it says, through Paul, God did, some translations say special miracles, others say unusual miracles, some says extraordinary miracles. It doesn't say healings. And in Acts, all through Acts, it says, and great signs, wonders were done through their hands. It doesn't say great healings, great prophetic words. It says great signs and wonders. Let's move backwards in the Bible for a moment. So the Old Testament is a lesser covenant. Okay? So if it's a lesser covenant and we're living in a greater covenant, it means that anything that's in the Old Testament, we also have access to. Old Testament. Stick turns into snake. You have all the plagues. You have the burning bush. You have a pillar of cloud. Can you imagine living your life when the cloud of pillar of fire moves, you move? You wake up in the morning and you go pick up your food from the ground. You're thirsty? Here's a rock. Boom! Whoosh, water coming out of a rock. There's an axe head that floats. There's a donkey that talks. There's the parting of the Red Sea and the Jordan River. There's the walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho. I have a great way for you to take this city. It's going to be awesome. Walk around it. Like, man, Jesus, you're crazy. The sun stands still. Daniel lives in a lion's den, Jonah in a whale, and I'm sure there's plenty more. I believe that signs, wonders, and miracles are way more than healing and prophecy. As a matter of fact, like I said, if you weren't here, I'll re-say it. John 14, 15, 16, at least right now, is my favorite set of scriptures. Because if Jesus is about to die, if you're about to die, and you know you're going to die, whoever your friends are with, they're closest to you, whatever you say to them is going to be the most important thing. You're not going to fill your time with fluff. You're not going to talk about the weather. It doesn't matter. You're about to die. John 14, starting in verse 9, it says, Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does the work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the works you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask for anything in my name." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish." I'm assuming we all believe that, right? That's like a no-brainer in the church. Right here, it says, anyone who believes in me, and I've looked it up in the Greek or Hebrew, I forget which one. It's the same word in John 3:16 as it is in John 14. Anyone who believes in me will do the same things I have done and greater. So that means that we have access to stuff that we have no idea what we have access to. That means that we can walk on water. Okay, just to labor this for just a second. John 14:12. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same word. Oh, that's the one I just read. Sorry. John 15:7, moving a little further. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, I will give you. John 16:23, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. It seems like Jesus is saying, the door's open. I don't care what it is. I don't remember where it is, but the Bible says that he wants to give us anything we can think or imagine. I don't know about you, but I have a very good imagination. The things that I can think or imagine can be crazy. And he wants to give these things to us. I'm going to be quick here. Okay. I am, and I have the microphone. So when it comes to my personal life, I have not seen this stuff. Does that stop me from pressing after it? No. Here's how I live my life. In my house, we do not kiss boo-boos. I have a 2-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter. If they go, ouch, I'm hurt, and walk up to you, and you say, oh, poor baby, let me kiss your boo-boo, they're going to look at you like you're crazy because we don't kiss boo-boos. What do? We pray for them. My son, who is 2, even when he was like 1, he would expect you to pray for him when he gets hurt. And sometimes he's healed and he still wants you to pray, and so he just asks you again. If you say, ouch, I hurt myself, not asking for prayer, my kids will walk up to you and say, in Jesus' name, or be healed, or something along those lines, because it's the culture we've created in our house. We have pets, we have cats, we have fish. Prayed for them. So why not? They're mine. They live under my roof. We've tried to raise my fish from the dead. My daughter, when she was about 2 years old, if you've ever heard a cat with a hairball, it doesn't sound pretty. It's kind of a noise. My cat is in the corner doing this. My daughter's walking through, and I don't remember exactly what she said, but it was something along the lines of, go in Jesus' name or something. The cat instantly stops and walks away. I'll pray for anything, like absolutely anything. So when my buddy had a flat tire, see, in the Garden of Eden, we were given authority over all of heaven and earth. We lost that when we sinned. Jesus took those keys back and said, here you go, they're for you again. Which means that we have all authority in heaven on earth. Which means that when it comes to anything on this earth, we actually have authority over it. My God is the God of wind. He lives inside me. So why can't I blow that tire up through my prayers? I even did a prophetic act. I got down on my hands and knees and went in the little like spigot thing. Nothing happened, but one day it will. When I'm driving down the road and I see a dead animal, here's the thing. I've been told I'm going to raise the dead. The problem with raising the dead is that somebody has to be dead. And I don't want to practice on the first dead person that I pray for. So when I'm driving down the road and I see a dead animal, if I'm able to stop, I will stop and get out of the car and pray for it. Yes, I feel like I'm absolutely nuts and insane and I'm terrified of who's looking at me, but I don't care because I want to see something raised from the dead. We pull up to things on the side. I will open the door with my kids in the back and say, all right, guys, let's pray for this to be raised from the dead. I've prayed for... So in our bathtub at bath time, I'll try and walk on the water with the kids. My wife heard my kids. I wasn't there. She she wasn't in the room, but she heard my kids trying to turn the water into ice while they're in the tub. What are they going to do when it turns into ice? I would freak out. You'd be stuck in the tub. Here's the thing, though. I didn't teach them that. Anything you can think or imagine. So my encouragement to you guys is to recognize that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Okay, I know that I go after things that are extreme. I've tried to turn milk into water into milk. I've tried to turn water into wine too, but we need milk in my house, so I try and turn water into milk. I have a hole in my roof that's, you know, like leaking, and it's like there's a water spot and the paint's coming off. When I look at it, I command it to be fixed. Why? Because those materials up there come from the earth, and I have authority over the earth, which means that I can command it to be fixed. So, miracles are more than healing, prophecy, and tongues. Just like there was a time where the church wasn't really seeing the prophetic. There was a time where the church wasn't really seeing healing. There was a person that came in and blew it wide open for the church. You know, specifically healing, it was John Wimber. He came in and he released the mantle of healing into the church. Like, I believe that he was like one of the gateways for it. I believe that there is going to be unusual miracles that's going to be released from the church. Last story. If I were talking with a bunch of gangbangers and they were like, dude, who do you think you are? You need to get out of here. You have no authority. And I were to bend down and pick up a stick and say, let me show you the authority I have. And I throw it down and it turns into a snake. What's going to happen? I give you two reactions. One is, ah, and they run away. The other reaction is, dude, who are you? I love that question, because then I get to say, it's not about who I am, but let me tell you about who it is about. That's the purpose of signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to be able to be the person that says, you don't believe in God? What would it take for you to believe in God? Well, I need to see somebody walk on water. Okay, no problem. Here we go. So, think outside the box. I keep going, but I've already run over.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you, Dan. If you could just get ready to either read your blog thing or say it, whatever it is, that'd be cool. Steve Witt, who I'm honored that he speaks into my life, and that's an honor. He told me a few weeks ago, he said, Ron, whenever you have people in the church, he said, don't get blessers, get builders. He said, if you're just getting people to come in and just give you warm and fuzzies, he said, big deal. He says, get people in that will stretch you and challenge you, even if you don't always agree with them all. He said, who agrees with everybody else anyways? He said, my wife, he said, I don't agree with everything my wife does, and we live in the same house. So Dan Petrini is a builder as far as I'm concerned. Chicago's not Marion, but people are people. Yeah, and it's just interesting, you know. I hear you try to raise dead animals to life, you know. Jim Stevens used to say, I used to prophesy squirrels. Remember? Have you ever went to the school of prophets? That's what he said. He prophesied squirrels. I prophesied animals when I was practicing. I did, you know. It's you got to think out of the box, and you got to practice, and you got to try. And I think it's valuable. Again, we don't all what I believe in is the principle, the principles this guy follows, being risk takers, as whoever Chad said this morning. You know, he said it was a success when Peter stepped on the water. When he got out of the boat, it was a success. If he stayed in the boat, that's a failure. That's a failure. But he was willing to step out of the boat. That's what I want to be. I want to be a step out of the boater. And you know, as far as the tattoo interpretation for the last several months, and it's incredible. I wouldn't really know you. I wouldn't be having this next conversation with Paul if I said, you know, that's interesting. Tell me about that tattoo. And it's all about inheritance. And I'm going to let him share just a couple minutes on that. But with this whole week has been about, Ephesians 1 and about being marked by the Holy Spirit once we believed, and that he seals us. We believe in Christ, and he seals with the mark of the Holy Spirit, and it's a deposit that guarantees our inheritance. What we're talking about tonight, what we've been sharing about ears being healed and lives being changed, and they can't find anything with hearts. They say, just going to go home. And praying for people in nursing homes, going to people's homes, and they can hear, and they're sensing God's Spirit, and they blink their eyes, and that gives us hope, and giving people hope. That is the inheritance that I want. And if you're going to run with me and hang with me, that's the inheritance that I want, okay? And I believe that's the inheritance that God has for this place of signs, wonders, and miracles. Relationships with Jesus Christ in the power and presence of his Holy Spirit. I could talk a lot about inheritance, but I want Paul, he was sharing about his tattoo, and I said, that's cool. So Paul, share a little bit with me.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So on my left arm, there's this wonderful little tattoo in Hebrew. Short, really funny story, actually. I was a one-on-one aide in a junior high school, and my student was at the lunch table with several other students, and one of the students said, hey, that's a really cool tattoo. What does it mean? And before I could even get a word out of my mouth, my little one-to-one student, without blinking, without batting an eye, turns to me, looks me square in the eye, and I tell you, he goes, oh yeah, doesn't that tattoo mean loser? And knowing this, that the student, he, like, social filters aren't quite all there. And I said, buddy, if it were anybody else at this table that said that, you would be having a detention. But because it's you, and because I know you, I'm going to let it slide. This actually comes from Deuteronomy 4:20, and the word there, God says, so I brought you people out of the iron smelting furnace, out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, to be my own possession. Some translations say my own personal inheritance. He takes ownership of his people, basically saying, you will not wander. You will not be a people who are uncared for. I'm going to look after you. That's my promise. That's my guarantee. You are mine, and I'm not going to let you down. So on top of that, the whole thing about, first chapter of Ephesians is, I read that, and Paul's like, you know what? By the Holy Spirit, we have an inheritance in God. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, we are called, and we have the guarantee that we have whatever we need. I firmly believe that as Christians, we can ask, we can seek, and we will find. We can knock, and that door will be opened. I heard something about that this past year. A good friend of mine said that there was this little switch that, like, all his life, he's been in church, and he's heard that verse quoted thousands of times about ask, seeking, and knocking, and all that. But the thing that changed for him was, no, wait, it doesn't say ask, and it might be given. Seek, yeah, and you might find. There's a 50-50 chance. Yeah, you knock, and maybe somebody will be on the other side of the door. No, it says ask. You will. It will be given. Seek. You will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Now, of course, I'm not God. I don't know how he's going to do it. But I know that because I have that spiritual inheritance that is guaranteed through the Holy Spirit, living and flowing and growing in me, that whatever is on my heart, chances are it's probably on his heart too. So,
we're just going to say a prayer, and I guess it's going to be just Ryan then. We're just going to worship and praise and just worship. And we're going to believe that, you know, God's going to seal in us that rich inheritance that he so desperately wants us to have. We want it, but he wants us to have it even more than we desire it, because he's a perfect father. So thanks again, Dan, Pam, Paul, for being here, and we just love you guys. And when we worship tonight, you stay as long as you want. I know it's been a long week, and you feel free to stay. If you want to lay down and sleep up here, you lay down and sleep. I'll stay here with you, and are you free to go? Let's just worship. So, Father, we just thank you for this night, and we just thank you for the rich inheritance that we have from you. We thank you, God, that you stretch us. Not only stretch us, you make us and mold us, Lord. Not into more of what we look like, but to more into what you look like. Thank you, God, that you bring us in relationship with builders, Lord, that are different, that are crazy, God. And we love them because people thought you were crazy, Lord. And we desperately love you. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've marked us. Lord, may we steward that mark. May we put your mark on display, not as a show to bring attention to ourselves, but just to show the love that we have for you and the light that shines in us. We so desperately love you, God. We thank you for being our Father. It's in your name we pray. It's also why we worship and praise you. Amen.
Sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul sing your praise unending. 10,000 reasons and forevermore. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. sit and sing of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. It's your presence, Lord. Your presence. Rest in your presence, love. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Oh, your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, and Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence all around. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We know there's days to sing God's praise. Then
So a lot of what I talk about and a lot of what I do is simply taking risk. you know, Chad said it earlier. John Wimber used to spell risk or spell faith R-I-S-K, and I think that's absolutely right because faith is believing what God has said over what your experience says. So taking risks is really important. So what I want to do is I just want to. I think God is creating an army of risk takers. And so I just want to do a little ministry here. If you are / want to be a risk taker, why don't you come up here and we're just going to do some ministry. If we need to push these rows back, we can, you know, to have a little extra room, we'll... So just come on forward. We're just going to, I'll be honest with you, I have no idea where this is going. So it's the best kind of ministry because he just does stuff. So anybody here ever prayed for courage? Anybody ever prayed for courage? Or am I the only one? Okay. Here's the thing about courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is actually when there is fear in front of you, and instead of going around it or... sorry, I took a picture of this sign that was really good the other little while ago. It says, courage is the mastery of fear, not the absence of. So that sign at work one day, I thought that was really good. Courage is not the absence of fear, it's the mastery of fear. Because courage doesn't mean that fear is gone, it just means that you walk straight into it. And so people pray for courage, and then they're in an opportunity where they're afraid and they say, God, give me courage, and they're still afraid and they don't act on it. And then later on they go, God, why didn't I have more courage? And God says, well, that was your opportunity, because he gives us opportunities. So why don't we just start off praying, because that's always a good place to go, right? So, whatever receiving looks like to you, you've got the standard, I don't know why you can receive like this more than, I don't know. Whatever receiving looks like to you, just get in a posture of receiving. And I'm going to start praying, and we're going to see where this goes. because I'd like to know myself. So Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence being here now. I thank you for the increase of your presence. God, I don't know how some person could be somewhere and then be somewhere in even more and greater and more, but you do it somehow. So Holy Spirit, more of your presence, more of your kingdom right now. We just say more, we just say more, we just say more, we just say more. So Father, right now, with every one of these people who have actively taken a stance to say that they want to live a lifestyle of risk, they've actively taken a stance to say that either there's something unsatisfactory and they want to go further. Father, I thank you for that heart and that heart posture. Father, I pray that you would come right now. Because God, I know that when we keep our eyes on you, the things that scare us aren't nearly as scary. So God, I pray that you would release a transformation of our minds into kingdom mindsets. You move us from glory to glory. God, you move us from glory to glory. And so you move us from a kingdom mindset to a greater kingdom mindset. And I thank you for that. Father, let your gaze consume us. Let your gaze consume us. And God, where there are fears that have been rooted inside of us, God, I pray that you would do some gardening, that you would pull out those weeds of fear that seem to sprout up quicker and easier than the seeds of faith. There's one kingdom that's marked by love. And there's another kingdom that's marked by fear. And we can only submit ourselves to one kingdom. People throughout history have tried their hardest to be submitted to two different kingdoms, and it doesn't work. And what kingdom do you want to be submitted to? Do you want to be submitted to the kingdom of love or the kingdom of fear? Because the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And so when we're afraid and when things are scary, whether it's going to pray for someone on the streets or if it's somebody in our family who's got an illness or we have a final exam that's half of our grade for the year and it's scary, whatever it is, love is to be our focus. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that your love would be increased. That your love would be increased. I pray for an increase of your kingdom, Holy Spirit, your kingdom, your kingdom, your kingdom. And Father, everything that I carry in the realm of courage, of boldness, of stepping out, I just release it for everyone that's standing here. I just release that for everyone that's standing here. Freely I have been given, and freely I give away. When it, I just release great boldness and great courage to come upon this house. I release great boldness and great courage to be a marker of this house. Father, we are marked by you. So Lord, we just say increase. Increase your fire. Increase your presence. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, thank you, thank you. So Holy Spirit, we just say, come in fire, come in power. A greater release of authority. Thank you, Lord, for increase. We thank you for increase. Holy Spirit, fire. Holy Spirit, fire. Holy Spirit, fire. Fire, pour down. Fire, rain down in this place. Increase, Lord.